Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation Live. And Michael's back with my appalling sarcasms, my unmitigated scorn for the political class of asses. We're just playing some 80s. Play the music. You don't have to die it out. Warm you up. Post-Labor Day show on The Savage Nation. Just back from Los Angeles. Everyone has Los Angeles stories, as do I. Here are my notes. Talk about L.A. trip, Motormouth Girls, Sylvester Stallone, French Strongman, French Clocks. All aboard. Let's play a little more 80s music so we get the people lined up. I don't even think they're back from vacation. As you well know, most Americans are on 5 to 10 day vacations around weekends. I don't know when they work. I don't know who works. I don't know how anyone makes a living. I don't know how the country goes on. The socialism has crept to such an extent that nobody works except me. I seem to be the only one who works. Now, it is true that sometimes... Now, that was bad timing, screwed up my flow. Thank you. Don't raise your hands. You screwed me up. That's all. Now, it is true I can be pugnacious and opinionated. But never forget that I can also be elegant and intellectually fastidious, which is why I'm successful. In other words, anyone could be a loudmouth like you. Anyone can be pugnacious and opinionated. That's nothing. A truck driver opens his yap on you, or a gas station attendant, or some liberal loudmouth lawyer. He could be pugnacious and opinionated, but they have no elegance and no intellectual fastidiousness like I do, which is why I'm famous and they're unknown. So I come back from L.A., and oh, God, the news is so horrible, it's enough to stop a clock. Muslim flight attendant says she was suspended for refusing to serve alcohol. Okay, I don't even have to read any further than that. You know why they put her up for the job. You know why the Council on American-Islamic Relations had this converted Muslim take a job as a flight attendant. Just to make you stop drinking liquor. My opinion, one man's opinion. You know why Hillary has broken Europe open, like a broken egg, to flood it with Muslims under the guise of being asylees. You know what's going on, don't you? Hey, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. Hillary learned that in grade school. Why is Obama flooding America with illegal aliens from south of the border? Hey, you want to make an omelet? You got to break a few eggs. They learned that in grade school. Why are the people so damn stupid that they put up with these idiots, these criminals? They're criminals destroying the Western world, destroying it in front of your eyes. Why do we put up with it? Because we're weaklings and we don't deserve anymore. We deserve to lose everything that our ancestors gave us. You don't deserve a nation. The stars have not dealt me the worst they could do. My pleasures are plenty, my troubles are two. But all my two troubles, they reave me of rest. The brain's in my head and the heart in my breast. Oh, grant me the ease that is granted so free. The birthright of multitudes, give it to me, that relish their victuals and rest on their bed, with flint in the bosom and guts in the head. Anyone who knows who wrote that will get an immediate free copy of my next best-selling book, Government Zero. No one knows who wrote that. I did not. So I went to L.A. for the weekend. I happen to love L.A. I'm one of the few in San Francisco who admit it. Most people in San Francisco seem to like the city as it is. I don't. I hate it. I hate San Francisco. I moved here in 74, and I saw a once-tolerant city taken over by a group of perverted psychopaths who are the most intolerant people I've ever seen on the planet. San Francisco is the most intolerant city in the world. There is no diversity of opinion permitted. It's run by a gang. It's run by a simple gang of thieves who speak the lingo of liberalism. They're all for the illegal alien, but they hate the citizen who votes and pays taxes. You get the picture. I don't have to go down the litany to show you how good I can be with the old tongue. The old tongue twisters. Judge orders Christian clerk freed from jail. I put the judge in jail. He was afraid because there was going to be a protest outside that skinny twerp's church, outside his courtroom today, that rat judge who jailed her. I had a lawyer on last Friday who was a mafia lawyer for 30, organized crime lawyer. for 30 years. He said he has seen murderers released on bail. He could not believe that this criminal judge in Kentucky put this poor Christian woman in jail because she wouldn't grant marriage licenses to homosexuals. Unbelievable. So he got frightened that the mob is liable to see what he looks like and trail him home. Yeah, well, let me stop right there. It's a national talk show. So let me go back to my L.A. trip. Because there's some interesting things, that's all. And let me tell you something I learned on the trip, by the way, if you're still listening, if you haven't changed the dial yet for something else, something important. I don't know what else is more important than me. I mean, what would you rather listen to right now? Fox News with the leg crosses and the twitching? What are they going to tell you? Murdoch is a senile old coot who said that Joe Biden's going to win. Murdoch's a senile coot. He built a huge empire, and just like the West itself, he's losing it. Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch, who I affectionately called Moloch a number of years ago, and I don't know why he would take that as an offense, just because I called him Moloch 10 years ago, is that a reason to ban me from Fox News and have criminals and degenerates and pimps and perverts on it on a regular basis as guests? Why would they ban me? Just because I called the boss Moloch? Most people don't even know what Moloch means. Why would he get mad? It's not a dirty word. It's an affectionate term. Moloch is senile, by all estimation. I go to L.A. I'm in L.A., and I learned something about talk radio that I didn't know. I see already the lights are on, like the pinball machine. 855-407-282. Some people know the numbers, some don't. Regulars will not get on the show. You can change your name 18 times. We know your voices already. Hi, I'm Bob from New York. I'm Bill from New York. I'm Sam from New York. I'm Bill from Connecticut. I'm the same jerk every show. Not on my show. Regulars, please don't call. Because we really don't care what you have to say. Call England better. London calling. Go talk to the Islamists in London. They threw the nation into the toilet because they were too refined to open their big mouths. Someone knows the author of that poem? Wait, hold off on that. I'm not ready for the contest yet. What was I going to say? Oh, so I'm in L.A., and I learned something about radio that I didn't know. I'm sitting in my house in L.A., and the studio's not hooked up yet. It will be soon, and I'll be doing shows from there because I'm going to live there part-time because I like L.A. I'll tell you why I like L.A. compared to this dead zone called San Francisco. And I'm listening to yesterday's show, the Labor Day show, which was a best of, put together by the team. And I started to hear myself in a different way, and I realized something. As intellectually fastidious as I can be, it's very hard to listen to talk radio if it's fact after 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 fact. Now, I don't do that as a general rule because I know that people can only take so much. The problem most juniors make, the amateurs, the bush leaguers in talk radio who think that they're geniuses make in radio is that they think that they're college professors and that people are hanging on their every word and they're going to give a final exam and that you have to remember every word that they uttered that came squeaking out of their nose and you have to remember it and write it down and they're so smart and every detail. No one can remember that crap. Radio is primarily a medium for easy listening. Even uncomfortable facts can be easy listening if you know what you're doing. So I listened to my show, and because it's a best of, the humor was not in there. The cadence and timing between sets was not in there because you got to put the thing together. So I said, just take the good, smart stuff and put it together in 4-8-12 pieces. So that's what they did. But I said, if I did this every day, nobody could take it. There's too much information. You see what I'm saying? So I learned that. Sitting alone in a room, I actually heard myself for the first time. And I said, this guy is good. I would listen to him. I advise any amateur in talk radio, even if they've been in the business 27 years, to listen to themselves in a dark room on a replay and see what they sound like in the year 2015 going on 2016. And you may learn something. That's all. Everyone can use a little criticism, especially self-criticism. Anyway, that's just a side note. So I go out a couple of nights. First night, I eat in Dantana's, which is an Italian restaurant on Santa Monica Boulevard, I believe. You know, used to be a hot spot for I don't know who. What do I know? I like old line red sauce. I don't like effete modern Italian restaurants at all. I can't stand them. I don't like light cuisine. I don't go to Italian restaurants for light cuisine. I want light cuisine, I'll go somewhere else. I'll go to like a green restaurant. I go for heavy cuisine. I like 1950s red sauce. So I go to Dantana's. Overpriced, of course, but so what? And it's a scene. They don't, everyone shoot loud. Like, you don't know what loud is till you sat there. Everybody's a star behind their car. Everyone's a movie star. They pull up in their Mercedes and they, everyone's a star behind the bar. Everyone. Everyone's so big you can hardly imagine it. But everyone's looking at everyone to see who they might have seen. And no one's there of any note whatsoever except me. And they don't know me because I'm only a radio host. You know who actually likes me is the head waiter. The Hispanic gentleman who's a busboy loves me in there. Actually, he's more than that. I have a huge following in L.A., even though I'm not on a station in L.A. Isn't that funny? Because I used to be on and I had bus ads. People start. So anyway, so I'm in the restaurant. I enjoyed the food. There was a woman in her 30s, good looking, I guess, with a guy maybe 20 years older than her, sitting across from us. We were a party of four. I tallied it. I got a watch going. I put the iPhone on timer. She did not stop motor-mouthing this guy for 1 hour straight, a minimum an hour, maybe more. I was in the restaurant 2.5 hours, took 30 minutes to, after the drink to even get a fragment of food, because it's the old-style restaurant where they make you drink first. They make you tortured because restaurants don't make any money on food. They make the money on the one glass of wine that the Schmendricks buy or the drink for $12 that cost them 4 cents. So, you know, if you keep them dying to sit there eating bad bread and you had another drink, you're ready, made your nut. You paid the rent. But the food was good. But she didn't shut up. It was like, so I turned to the people at my table and I nudged. I nodded. I said, over there, look at her mouth. Watch. She did not stop. I had not seen a motor mouth like that since I left Queens four decades ago. I had cousins like that who I don't speak to. Nice girls, but you can't, it's impossible to be in a room with them. You lose your breath, your oxygen goes, your oxygen leaves your lungs. And Schmuck sat there, the guy she was with, he didn't say a word for 1 hour. So all I could think as I glanced over is he's just trying to play the game to see if he keeps his mouth shut long enough, you know, maybe he'll go home with, I don't know. I asked some of the women at the table, are they dating? I said, have you noticed this guy hasn't said one word, I whispered. And the girls at the table said, no, he was older than her and he was looking at every girl in the restaurant. He was scanning. It's probably a business meal. Or like, he's her father's friend. And this is one of the things I like about L.A. is that you look at people and you try to figure out who they are. Not movie star thing. Because they talk. See, here's the thing. Even though she didn't shut up, she didn't stop talking, which is good. San Francisco, they're mute. San Francisco, they're afraid to talk. San Francisco, they think if you talk, you're low class. San Francisco has no idea what communication is, even though they think they're specialists in communication. If you talk to a stranger in San Francisco and try to make a mild joke, they call the police. They think you assaulted them. In L.A., I can talk to somebody who speaks only a Farsi and get along with them. Without even speaking the language, they understand me. I can speak to someone who speaks Swahili and the guy understands me. Anyway, so that's one thing happened in the restaurant. That's A. Food was okay, not as good as the last time. The prawns went down a certain amount in size. They used to have the biggest prawns in America. And they had a sweetness to them. A sweet came off them. No, this was already a Labor Day job. It was in the showcase a little too long. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. I actually hated the 80s, now that I think about it. The miserable 80s. The worst decade of my whole life. Anyway, I won't go into that. So I was talking about this and that, L.A. I'll do the news later. I'm not in the mood. First of all, most of you are not in the mood. Secondly, you can read it all on the Drudge Report in 3 seconds. So what do you need me for, to be a parrot? A real intellectual genius, the talk show. They read the Drudge Report like they wrote the news. What else did I want to say? Oh, I said I could speak Farsi to someone. I mean, someone who speaks Farsi understands me in L.A., even though I don't speak the language. In San Francisco, they don't understand a word anyone says to them. Either they're on drugs, or I don't know what they're on. Liberalism. Obama, by the way, speaks a special language. He doesn't speak Farsi. Obama speaks Parsi. That's a language I just invented. Obama is an expert in a language called Parsi. So the second night in L.A., I said, okay, Italian one night. I can't do it two in a row. Wasn't that good anyway. A piece of pizza would have been better, you know, with a light beer in my house watching television. So I said, let's go to Japanese. So we go to this rip-off Japanese restaurant. I never saw prices like this in my life, ever, in my whole life. It's impossible to believe they get away with it, but they're packed. You can't get in there. So I eat there. The fingers, just to start, at the end of the meal, the fingers felt like each finger was injected with Levitra. Felt like each finger was injected with a male enhancement drug from the salt content. That's the second story, the health issue of salty food. I'll tell you about that in a minute. So that was it. So we come out of the restaurant. I see a guy come in. This guy is the biggest guy I've ever seen in the entire world. I have never seen a man this size. You name the race. You've seen big men, right? I gasped. I hope that it's on the website or I'll break something. It'll be mistake two. Where it is, I don't know. I don't see it. I asked for 30 minutes ago to put it up. What, they couldn't manage to put it up yet? What, five wealthiest Muslim nations refuse Syrian refugees? Great story. Where's the strongman I asked for? Not there. See, this is my problem. I do too many things and I have no management. The biggest man I ever saw in my life with tattoos in it, and each arm was the size of a ham hock, but solid muscle. So, wait a minute, there's more to the story now. Wait till you hear how this one goes.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Right, welcome back to the Savage. So I was talking about a little trip I took to L.A., big deal. But you see, to me, I can find interesting things wherever I go. That's a product of my nature. So I finished Saturday night. I'm not repeating it. And so now we're up to Sunday night, Japanese. Biggest guy in the world I ever saw comes in the restaurant with an entourage like, who is this guy? And I never saw arms like this or muscles or a neck, or a head. I've seen big men. But who is that guy? I don't know. So I go out after the meal. I go out in the vestibule. And there he is. I go up to him. So I introduce him. He had a little French guy, a little guy with him, who was probably his bodyguard who could have killed me. So always the big guy's a little guy. The little guy's the murderer, right? That's how it works. I try to tap him on the arms like a hand comes out, like a shot out like a bullet. Like, don't touch him, don't look. You can only look, don't. You know that kind of, I don't blame him. You know, people go up to touch. Hey, it's like, how you doing? Introduced myself. I didn't think they'd know me, but talk show host. Da-da-da. Oh, great. Who is this? He gives me, I'm sorry to know the gentleman's name. I'm going to have it up on the site soon. Someone in the group knew who he was or got the name. So he started to talk. Not only is he a strong man, but he was the number one strong man in France. Like, he can pull, I don't know, Hannibal's elephants across the Alps. This guy is beyond belief. How could a guy like that, how would it be like? See, I get down to basics. And I don't mean to be vulgar, but I ask this question to myself because I've always been interested in a variety of human forms. How does this man use an ordinary bathroom that a man uses? This is something I don't understand. Leave that aside. But it enters my mind. Does it make me wrong? Robert, does that ever enter your mind? No. How does a man use that? You go in a restroom. How does he? I can't. I can't do the mathematics of it. It doesn't work. So we're talking. Out of the restaurant, there comes one of the most famous live-action movie stars of all time with his wife and children. I'm not going to mention his name. Lovely man. Happens to be a fan of the show. And we chat. And obviously, he didn't come over to see me. He came over to see the strong man. Because this guy is known around the world as a strong man himself, but he's older. And they start to talk. And this is a funny statement. So, you know, everyone's saying hello, the people I'm with, his and this one, again, the daughters, the pictures of this or that. Everyone's having a good time. She says, honey, to his wife, he says, you think I have big hands? Shake this man's hand. He says, not my hand, by the way. Robert knew that. He says, honey, you think I have big hands? Shake this guy's hand. I wasn't foolish enough to stick my hand out to shake his wife's hand. I knew he wasn't referring to me. But I thought that was interesting. So then I talked to the manager, a martial artist guy, and naturally this guy's, you know, here to make a name for himself. He's got an impediment. He doesn't speak English. That's the problem. In other words, Jean-Claude Van Damme spoke good English, so therefore he, you know, he got very talented guy. This guy don't know English. He can't make it in the movies. I don't know what you could do with a person like that, that big, like a circus thing, but that's two. What else is on the list? Oh, so we did L.A. Trip, Motormouth Girls. I did Movie Star. I did French Strongman. Now, the last thing I didn't talk about, because I don't think you're interested, is I then the next day, out of total boredom, before the ride home, I went to an antique store on Rodeo Drive, and you say, oh, come on. You're smart enough to know what that is. It turned out the prices were lower than most antique stores. And I bought the most... I'm going to make it short because no one buys this stuff. Because I grew up in an antique store, my father's store. I still have an affection for certain types of items. So I bought... And I'm a clock fanatic. I bought a three-piece mantle set. 1900. Bronze ormolu, if you know what that is. Marble. And it's known as a liar clock. No, not the type of clock that Obama looks at for the time every day. This refers to the musical instrument, L-Y-R-E, not the type that he uses in the White House. This guy wouldn't even tell you the time correctly. Anyway, so I got the clock, took it home, and here I am, and it's Tuesday. And now we're ready for the news headlines on this Average Nation. But I ran through the little trip so far. There's a little bit more, but it's too obscure. It's not of any interest. And there's details within the details of each of those little... So, okay, Obama speaks Parsi. That's new. That'll be stolen before it leaves your breath. The beginning of the show, I gave you two headlines. Judge orders Christian clerk freed from jail. Oh, yeah, really? No kidding. I wonder why, because the judge was afraid they'd lynch him. The mob was ready coming to the church, not to lynch the woman, but to lynch the judge, that cowardly punk anti-American SOB. So he released her finally, that rat, appointed by George Bush, no less. Why, are you surprised? I'm not surprised. A Bush job. As Pope visit nears, U.S. Catholic Church faces financial strain. Well, maybe if he shut his mouth, the bouncer, and stop talking about global warming, of which he knows nothing about, that con man, and paid a little attention to the fact that they're going broke because of the molestation scandal, and straighten out the Catholic Church, and stop flooding the world with refugees, maybe they wouldn't be broke. I love this Pope, this liar. I couldn't believe the headline in the LA Times coming home. Asylum seekers spread west-north. Listen to this. The Pope urges every parish in Europe to take in one family as the arriving migrants disperse in Germany. That's a very nice idea, Mr. Pope. And I suggest that you start with your parish called the Vatican. Why don't you take in one Muslim family into the Vatican? Put your money where your mouth is. And by the way, I understand the church is going through financial crisis under you because you can't pay the pensions of these poor priests who are like a pension crisis now. $2.2 billion in unfunded pensions. And it's coming due in the next 5 years as thousands of priests retire. U.S. Catholic Church has lost millions of its members over the past 14 years following the child abuse scandal. No kidding. No, you put your child in. You want your son to be an altar boy? Sure. Right. Yes. Send him. You know, Mr. Malloy will take care of him. Mommy, please. Mr. Malloy hurt me. Shut up. They don't do those things. Tarnish his reputation and forces the sold assets to pay billions of dollars in settlements. The church's finances are also under pressure from emptying pews and a demographic shift among Catholics to the U.S. South and suburbs that has left much of its inner-city bricks and mortar underused and bleeding money. Pope's coming to Washington, New York, and Philly to shoot his mouth off about stuff he knows nothing about. He's got one reform after another. Everything liberal he's for. I don't know what to have a church for. Isn't the object of a church to tell you you're no good and you're not doing the right thing? What do you need a church for telling you everything you do is okay? Everything is okay to this guy. Nothing's okay. Marijuana, whatever you want, abortion, divorce, it's all good. It's all good. So I don't understand why anyone goes to the church anymore. Number of adults who label themselves former Catholics, meanwhile, has more than doubled to 25 million since 2000. And church attendance has plateaued. Low donations by parishioners and rising expenditures led 24% of U.S. parishes into the red in 2013. Cost-cutting has contributed to a declining number of U.S. parishes, a steep drop in the number of Catholic schools, as well as fewer hospitals, according to CARA. Okay. And does that stop this guy from globetrotting and spewing lies about warming, of which he knows nothing about. Why would a man with a failing church, low attendance, falling attendance, especially amongst the educated, and out of money, broke, why would he spend any of his capital on global warming? Do you know why? Can anyone put two and two together? A couple of reasons. One, because the New World Order wants to push the big lie, which I have refuted repeatedly over and over and over again. And I can give you simple facts, even if you're a stupid person with a PhD and you live in New York City and think you know everything. Even if you're the smartest moron in New York or L.A., spend 5 minutes and research the Vostok ice flows, VOS ice core samples, VOSTOK. That's number one. Number two, idiots. The schmuck president was in Alaska last week. I'm standing on the glacier. Look at that. Here's where it was in 54. It was in 62. Look at that. The glacier is retreating. Schmendrick. Whole northern hemisphere was covered with snow and ice 3 millennia ago. So he's standing there like, does this man know anything? Did Obama learn from Alinsky that when water melts, it becomes steam? Does he understand that when a glacier retreats, you see trees? Or what does that mean, Mr. Obama? Duh. What does it mean that when a glacier retreats because it's melting and you see trees, what does that tell you? Even a liar like you, a basic street liar like you. See, he's Al Sharpton with a smoother game. I don't think you understand why I have such contempt for him. He has a great voice and a nice suit. Does not make for a great president. He is Al Sharpton with a nice suit and a great voice. See, when the glacier retreats, Mr. Obama, and you see trees, that indicates something. Something you didn't learn from Karl Marx. What that means is that there was a time when there was no glacier there, and flora flourished. And then, eventually, an ice age appeared and covered the trees. So what caused the ice age, Mr. Obama? It couldn't have been Al Gore. It couldn't have been Al Gore's wife freezing the earth with her chilly temperatures. What did it? Would the earth change? I don't know. There was no industrialization. Why did suddenly the warming occur? The little ice age ended. What made that happen? Then a little ice age occurred. What caused it to occur? Long before industrialization, 1500s. Ice appeared, then ice took 200 years slower to go away. Why? Natural cycle. Now, I'm not arguing for pollution. I've worked against it all my life. But please, what I care about the most is honesty and the truth. I hate politicians because they don't even know what the word honesty means. They're born liars. They belong in a freak show that they can lie with such aplomb and not even think that anyone knows what they're saying. So now the Pope's an expert now on ice and melting ice caps and weather. As Michael Savage said, the only thing the Pope knows about the weather is that when it rains, his aides take out umbrellas. That's the extent of his knowledge of climate science. Why would this man be talking about climatology and come to the United States? Why would that moron drunk, John Boehner, permit him to speak before the U.S. Congress? How could that drunk permit this? That shameful drunk, John Boehner, voted along with the communists to put the Pope in the Congress? I'm offended by it. For three reasons. One, we have a separation of church and state. Secondly, this Pope is a communist. And thirdly, there was no reason for him to speak to this nation about global warming without any refutation. Bothers me deeply. It's all propaganda. All propaganda. So he's coming here to do that. That bothers me. So the question is, why would the Pope invest any time in this global warming issue when he's got a bankrupt church, a diminishing number of attendees on the pews, unfunded pensions? What's he trying to do? Well, a good percentage of the income that the church gets comes from the federal government. Refugee resettlement. That's number one. Right now it's in a $2 billion number for housing, feeding, clothing, transporting, and God knows what else they do for them. Catholic charities, racket, business, just like Baptist charities, Jewish charities, you name it. They're all in on the racket. That ended the separation of church and state. Obama bought them all off with federal grants. So that's number one. So well, what does that have to do with global warming, doctor? You still haven't finished your argument yet. Well, here's what it has to do with global warming, Schmendrick. If this Schmendrick Pope of ours, of yours rather, Pope of yours, is a friend of yours or a friend of mine, not my friend, If this Pope could get away with his lie along with Obama and the other gangsters, and then say that the rising seas are going to cause more refugees, you have to take them all in now from Micronesia, wherever. Then they all come here. Guess who gets to take care of all the refugees and resettles them? You got it. The church. Church gets the money. So it's all got to do with money and the story, follow the dollar, period. You got that? Okay. That was a long thing. 855-407-2822, Michael Savage. I may be pugnacious and opinionated, yes. But no one can deny my elegance and intellectual fastidiousness. No one. Unless they themselves are just failures who hate anybody who's smarter than them. What are we going to talk about? Oh, we got a winner. We got a winner. Sue on WMAL. Go ahead, please. What are you calling about?
I was calling about the poem, and it was written by A.E. Housman.
How in the world could you know that this little couplet, I'm going to read it again. The stars have not dealt me the worst they could do. My pleasures are plenty, my troubles are two. But oh, my two troubles, they reave me of rest. The brain's in my head and the heart in my breast. Oh, grant me the ease that is granted so free. The birthright of multitudes, give it to me. That relish their victuals and rest on their bed. With flint in the bosom and guts in the head. How did you know it was Housman? That's an obscure couplet. How?
Well, I was an English major in college, and I was driving to the gym when you were reading it, and I remember the line, my troubles are two. And he must have spent a whole period talking about the significance of that line, and I never forgot it.
You're one of the few Americans left who knows what a poem is. I'm going to send you, the minute it's out, it'll be out in about a month, actually another month and a half, no less. But we're starting today, countdown. You're getting a free copy of my great book, Government Zero, my last nonfiction book, my nonfiction political book, when it's out in October. And God bless you for knowing Western civilization's poems, because Housman has always been one of my favorite, especially A Shropshire Lad to An Athlete Dying Young. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIN. Hey,
Huey Lewis I like up to a point.
Where is he today? I don't know. Whatever. Here we are on the Savage Nation. I can't believe it. How could we go through an hour? John from WJR will talk with you. He says the Pope should be allowed to come and speak. I say no, the Pope should go back where he came from. As an American who believes in the separation of church and state, no. No, Mr. Pope. Go home and spew your lies to the ignoramuses out of the Vatican. You think this is too harsh? Wait till he's here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
80s were not my favorite. Horrible time in my life, what the government did to me. Play it up for a minute. They're not interested in anything I have to say anyway. And now we have a big one from the 80s, ZZ Top on The Savage Nation. That's all. Why talk about politics? The effect it has. Okay, turn it off now. What's the point of talking about politics? We elected these schmuck Republicans. Look what we got, a drunk in charge, a stooge of Obama called Boehner. If Obama tells him to come in and wash his clothes, he would do it for him. Some separation of powers we have here. And the sellouts in the Supreme Court, look at them, what they must have over that guy Roberts. I'd like to see those pictures. To share those pictures on the internet. The votes we get out of him with that judge in Kentucky. Like to see the file they have on that judge, the little portfolio, the 52 cards. Now we got the Pope to deal with. Now, it wasn't bad enough we have sellout politicians. Now we got a Pope, a communist Pope. Straight out communist Pope. Don't mince words already. Why must everybody dance on eggs when you say the Pope? Why? There's, by the way, a revolution going on inside the church over what this guy is doing. A revolution is brewing of conservative leaders are freaked out over this communist. They finally see it? What anyone with a brain could see from the get-go? This guy is espousing. The Pope of the Catholic Church is espousing opinions that are very, very similar to that of Jeremiah Wright, Barack Obama's preacher, who said, you know what he said, right? Remember that? The Pope is Jeremiah Wright with a smoother act, the same way that Obama is Al Sharpton with a smoother act. It's all revolutionary communism, or as you call it, liberation theology, whichever way you want to put it. And I don't like it, nor should you. Asylum seekers spread west and north, says the LA Times. The Pope urges every parish in Europe to take in one family as the arriving migrants disperse in Germany. Don't get me started on Merkel. Merkel is the biggest sellout in the history of the German nation. This woman started out as another one who faked conservatism and now became the most psycho-leftist you could ever imagine. Amid one of the greatest human displacements since World War II. Blah, blah, blah. So let's talk about the displacement that's going on and who caused it. Hillary Clinton. You want to know where this displacement came from? Hillary Clinton. Why do I say that? First of all, I was the first to say it in the media. Now I see it dribbling out in drips and drabs. The second and third rate intellectuals are already picking it up. Hillary Clinton espoused the Arab Spring lie. Now, let me go back on that one. George Soros funded it. Zbigniew Brzezinski designed it. Hillary Clinton enacted it. She broke Libya, threw out Gaddafi. What happened? Went after Assad. What happened? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you get the picture, the bigger picture, the global picture? The most unmitigated disaster in modern history is what's going on in the Middle East as a result of Hillary Clinton's Arab Spring. And it never comes up. Say what you will about the Republican debates. They're vigorous. They're intellectually honest. They're diverse in opinion. They disagree with each other. They call each other names. While she gets away with virtual murder. Not a word. Anyone asks that woman a word, like Mrs. Clinton. Do you take any responsibility for the migration crisis in Europe as a result of the Arab Spring? Why don't you ask her that question? That two-faced phony. That's gonna, none of them will ask her a question because they can't find her. It's like find the candidate, hidden behind the witch from Florida. That a piece of work. That is Debbie Schultz Wasserwoman. Wow. I fled New York because of women like her. Women like Debbie Schultz Wasserwoman is the reason I fled New York and wound up in the jungles of the South Seas collecting plants to never hear their voices again. A shrike? That protects her now. So Pope's coming. I don't mind if he mumbo-jumbos about religion, but first, even that, I don't know what he's doing in a Congress doing that for. What was he doing there? He's going to talk about global warming again. That's what's getting me mad. It's a lie, number one, and number two, where's the refutation? You know, normally when a president gives a speech, it's like a speech from the opposition. You know, State of the Union. Okay, State of the Union. Take the State of the Union. President gives a State of the Union address, and then the head of the opposition party, in this case, if he's not drunk, they can find him in the cloakroom, not on the floor, underneath a coat, gives a speech refuting it. They get the stew bum up to give a speech. They stand them up. That's the tradition. So if the Pope is going to give a speech to Congress, why don't they let someone refute his lies? Right afterwards, here's the refutation of Mr. Pope. And secondly, who is the Pope? Why is he elevated to Godhead? Can I calm down with you for a minute? Who is this man? If I'm not mistaken, he started as a bouncer. Then he realized there's no money in it. So he went into religion. Reminds me of the novel, The Red and the Black. See, I would say if anyone gets that right, I'll give you a free copy of Government Zero, but you could look that one up. That's too easy. I'll give you the answer. Stendhal, S-T-E-N-D-A-H-L, French writer. The Red and the Black. And what that was about, great novel. I read it in college. Now they're teaching Jenny Has Three Mommies in 14 Countries. I read Stendhal, and he wrote The Red and the Black, and it was the story of one young man who's poor, peasant, no chance to get ahead in France at that time except to go into the army, the military, or the church, red and the black. Those are the only two paths to success, the red and the black. And it's about his rise and the politicking he had to do to rise. I think he did go into the priesthood. So the Pope realizes there's no money in bartending, puts on the collar, and next thing you know, he's a good politician, bingo, like Obama. It's all politics. How did he become Pope? What, God come down somewhere that I don't know about and say, pick this guy from Argentina because he's so brilliant and so pure? He's a man. I don't understand this part of religion. Why do people elevate religious people to some non-human state? I don't get that. I guess that's called sainthood or canonization, whatever. I'm not into that. I don't believe in saints, and I don't believe in canonization of people. You know, we're all the same at the end of the day. Some good, some bad, some stupid, some smart. That's all. But the end, what is this? Why is this guy being given such an audience? Because it fits in with Obama's agenda and the Republicans' agenda, which is to, you know, bamboozle you with more of the big lie. Then we're going to hear about the refugee crisis. Take him in, you bleeding hearts again. Take it a Muslim. Take a Muslim in for Jesus. That'll be the doctrine. If you love Jesus, we'll have you put a Muslim family in your house. Build a little mosque in your bedroom for a refugee family, says the Pope. I mean, I don't know what he's going to say. You love Jesus, yeah, take in a Muslim family from Syria. Don't bring in any Christian families. And Mr. Pope, don't talk about the burning of the churches by the Muslims. Don't talk about the killing of Christians by the Muslims. Don't say a word about that. Just talk about mumbo jumbo, everybody, about global warming and rising seas and, you know, take in a family. Take a family in for Jesus. See, that's the undertone. That's it. It's the whole thing right now. Okay, I have scorn for this. I don't like lies. I'm appalled by the lies. So I use appalling sarcasm to fight the liars. And the scorn they have for the people is so great, I use unmitigated scorn to skewer them with my sarcasm. That's all. I may be pugnacious, I may be opinionated, but no one can argue with my elegance and intellectual fastidiousness, which is why the show is so big. Oh, you could say what you will, but big it is. That is right. So I'd like to refute the Pope. I'd even do it on a call-in basis after he gives a speech. And now we hear from America's most brilliant talk show host, Michael Savage, refuting the Pope. I would not be insulting. I take his arguments down one by one and give you an alternate viewpoint. What would be wrong with that? Nothing. But you're not going to hear that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, just direct from San Francisco, Michael Savage. Yeah, I renamed the city as I came back. San Francisco. Thanks to Sheriff Murky Kami. Kate Steinle is dead. Released it from jail. Nothing happened to him, though. It's a new name for the city. I used a few other affectionate names. San Francisco doesn't work anymore. But San Francisco is liable to fit. Would you believe that in your lifetime it would go from being compassionate to so-called bums in the street, who they gave a new name, homeless? What do you mean homeless? The guy's a bum, he's in the gutter. In the old days, if you couldn't afford to live in a city, you moved to a country, out into where no one wanted to live. You did like odd jobs. You lived in a barn. Did the best you could. You wandered. You were a drifter. No one gave you a home. Where'd that come from? Again, Marxism. Homelessness. Would you believe you go from being compassionate to the homeless to having them openly defecate in the street, pulling your pants down, urinating in front of people in the streets? And the city fathers do nothing. City fathers. The city freakos. City fathers. They're so busy raking in the money, they could care less. Railways to nowhere down the Central Valley. They'll take people from A to B and no one will be on the train. Meanwhile, people have made fortunes that you can't believe. Intergenerational fortunes are being made in California right now on a phony railroad put in by Governor B. But he's interested in global warming. That's all. I'm on a roll today. I can feel that, but I don't know if I want to take a call yet. I will when I come back, I promise. I'm starting to feel like I took me an hour to get here because I knew you weren't ready. Topics I covered in hour one were good. L.A. trip, Motormouth girl, movie star of unnamed, iconic movie star with a strong man, French clocks, food in the Italian restaurant that tastes like Italian food. At least it tastes like Italian food. I'm saying it wasn't as good as last time, but at least it tasted like Italian food. It has to have a certain smack to it, the sauce. Marinara sauce should smack of the sea. Should be bland. It's like American Chardonnay. They made it sugary so women would drink it. It's based on a Sauvignon Blanc, which is based on a Sancerre. It's supposed to be tart. But because the children in America grew up on soda and Ritalin, they can't stand real wine. So they modified the wine in Napa Valley. And they made it like sugar wine. Oh, I was going to get to a health thing, too, today. Wait. I wanted to talk about this. I saw another headline I wanted to get to. Got to go down the old listy. Here it is. Oh, listy, 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 where are you? Here it is. This caught my eye. Half of U.S. adults have diabetes or pre-diabetes, study says. Oh. Oh, am I ready for this one. If you ever went out to dinner with me, you probably wouldn't be happy after a while because I look at people, middle-aged people, like idiot children after they eat a big fat meal that would kill an animal. And would you like a dessert? And like little children, they go with a smile, yeah. Well, we have chocolate ice cream. We have tiramisu. Would you like some? And the idiots sit there with a double spoon eating and stuffing it down their gullets. They wonder why they have diabetes. No one tells them. The doctor doesn't know any better. The doctor's on a pill. How could they know any better if the doctor's stupid and eats the same garbage? Of course there's diabetes with the amount of sugar that's being eaten in this country. You wouldn't feed an animal what human beings eat in a restaurant. Dessert, number one deadly meal in the history of the world. I never eat it, by the way. Ever. 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 And I'm teaching you something of great importance. The sugar disease is the number one killer in America. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. So Hillary causes the greatest refugee crisis since World War II. Now she wants a 25% gun tax to make sure you can't defend yourself from the onslaught. Did I catch your attention yet? Half of U.S. adults have diabetes. I went off on desserts. Never eat them. Poison. There should be a dessert tax or no dessert at all, ever. Poison, especially for adults. I know what it does to children is bad enough. Affects their brains, makes them hyperactive. Read Feingold's seminal work from the 70s, which has been thrown in the garbage by the drug peddlers called pediatricians who want to just drug your children. They don't tell you a damn thing about how to stop the activity. Just take, give them drugs, that's all. And you see the grown-ups sitting there eating like children. Wonder why they have diabetes. No idea. The doctor doesn't tell them because he's got a customer there. You want to kill the customer. Another thing, this is not a health thing, but this bothers me. Just ordered a Japanese lunch. I ate it. So I always throw the chopsticks in the garbage. I don't want splinters in my food. That's why we invented a fork in the West. I'm going to eat of sticks. The reason they ate sticks in the East is they didn't have forks. They cut down a tree and ate with twigs. And still eat. Yeah, give me I love all the liberals sitting in the Japanese restaurant to show you how smart they are to eat with a chopstick. They want to be accepted by the owner. Get out of here. Bring me a fork, Johnson. Just get it over here. And give me the chopsticks. Now, here's why I don't like chopsticks. Forget that they're stupid to use, number one. It's like an effete thing to sit in a restaurant with the sticks. Well, the libs try to show you how good they are, what good little boys and girls they are, the schmendricks. Do you realize it's causing deforestation in Asia? Chopsticks? I know you don't. See, I see things macro, micro. Billions of these things are used every day by Asians. And where do they come from? Trees. They cut down trees. Chopsticks are made from trees. Deforestation is occurring because of the use of chopsticks. Make them buy stainless steel forks. Make them out of aluminum. Ban the chopstick, or you make them out of some reusable, you know, material like porcelain. You understand how intelligent that is? But no, dismiss it because I said it. Because some creep on PBS didn't give you a whole show on it. A three-hour show on the danger of the chopstick. Chopsticks decimating forests. New York Times. Use of chopsticks decimating forest lands in Asia. Detailed story by Eric Schmidt. Biggest schmuck that ever wrote in the history of journalism. Eric Schmidt of the New York Times. I love all the bylines. Yeah, he wrote this too? Oh, here's one from Eric Schmidt. Listen. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Here. U.S. to revamp a rebel force combating ISIS. Falling short in Syria. Program is to focus on skills and tactics of moderates. By Eric Schmidt and Ben Hubbard. In other words, Obama's big lie about funding moderates in Syria has been exposed for what it is, a big lie. Rebel force combating ISIS. And yesterday, Kerry tries to start World War III, that liar, by attacking Putin, saying Russia could escalate the division in Syria. You idiot, you. You know that you're provoking Putin by trying to overthrow Assad. He's not letting Assad go, Kerry.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Hillary Clinton destroyed the Middle East with the Arab Spring. Obama's destroying America with his madness of bringing in immigrants, refugees. Meanwhile, according to TV footage released by Breitbart, Muslim refugees were chanting Allahu Akbar and F.U., attacking citizens, throwing human feces. The footage that TV networks don't broadcast. So-called refugees in Budapest chanted Allah Akbar and F.U., while other refugees, Muslims, attacked an old Italian lady and threw feces at bystanders in Germany, as Germany announced that it would be prepared to take in 500,000 asylum seekers every year. Now, what's odd about this is that there's a vast right wing in Europe that has come out over and over again in the last few years saying no more refugees, and yet Cameron, Merkel, and the others are going in the exact opposite direction. How is it that Merkel, who was a center-right politician, is now acting like a fanatical left-wing, by the way, insane person? You know and I know what's going to happen in Germany. You know and I know what has to happen in Germany. You and I both know what's going to happen in the West if this keeps up. You know I know it's coming. Why are they doing it? People keep saying they're not stupid. They know what's going to happen if you bring in 500,000 refugees, mainly Muslims, into Germany when there's such a strong, powerful right-wing movement. And by the way, a center-right movement. And by the way, a centrist movement saying no more refugees. Why Muslims? Why not Christians from Syria? There's a reason. They want civil war. They want civil unrest. They want it here. They want it there. They want it everywhere. And they say, well, why would they want that? I don't think you understand how serious this issue really is. I mean, I've been dancing around having some fun today because if I did this for 3 hours, you wouldn't listen. I'll give it to you in a nutshell because someone asked me this in a car over the weekend. Why would the leadership of the West be designing to destroy the West? Moreover, with Muslims who will never integrate into their nations. Why? Chaos. Upheaval. Civil unrest. Why? Who do the people turn to in those times? The government. Gives the government what? More power. Over who? The people. End of story. The government unto itself is a diseased entity. It's a crazed animal. The word government means crazed animal run by power-mad lunatics. And it thinks only how it could expand its own power. So it doesn't matter about the consequences. If the cities burn to the ground, it wouldn't matter, as long as their power increases. Look at the power-mad socialist lunatics who run Baltimore. She burnt the city to the ground, that idiot mayor. Has she been fired yet? No. She's only gotten worse. Let's take a look at Baltimore. That's what they want in the world. And if you think it's not going to happen here, I wish to God I could agree with you. I wish to God I could agree with you, but I can't agree with you. Now we got a meddlesome pope espousing the same big line. Take in a family, global warming, same thing. All part of the same game. Let's take some calls. I haven't taken many today. Let's see. John, WJR, what's your opinion? Make it fast.
Yes, Michael, I don't like this pope. I don't want him preaching his leftist pronouncements to the American body politic, but I object to your argument against him speaking on the basis of the misuse of a usually leftist phony argument of separation of church and state. That's usually used to preclude Judeo-Christian influence in American political discourse. Why would you, as a conservative, invoke that phrase equally as inappropriately as the left does?
Why is it inappropriate? We're supposed to have a separation. Listen to me carefully, because I've covered this for many years. I didn't say a separation from church. I said a separation of church and state. Big difference.
But that's the phrase used by the left, which is inappropriately used. It has nothing to do...
Well, it's not inappropriately used in this case, John. You know and I know that the Pope is only being allowed to speak because he's espousing leftist tripe.
Fine, but there's nothing in the Constitution that precludes Americans using religious influence in their lives. It just has to do with establishing a status.
What, now you're touching on a very germane point. You said religious influence in their life. But this pope is a political figure. He's not strictly a religious figure. He's a hybrid. He's half politician and half religious figure. So he comes here and starts espousing politics. I object.
Okay, but don't use that phrase, because the left uses that phrase all too inappropriately.
All right, so what would you use to say it's inappropriate for the Pope not to speak before Congress? And by the way, you sound like a very educated man. Can you name a time in the past when a Pope addressed Congress?
No, and I don't want him to do it this time.
Okay, so why do you think out of the blue suddenly this bouncer from the Vatican is being allowed to address Congress?
Well, I don't know about that, but I just object to the use of the phrase separation of church and state because it's been used entirely inappropriately.
All right, so you're using an arcane argument, but we're not discussing the real issue. The issue is, why is this guy allowed to address Congress? That's what bothers me. He is a politician. He's going to espouse political viewpoints in Congress with the dignity of the church around him. You know, the skull cap, the vestments, everyone's going to get on their hands and knees. Oh, I mean, the Pope was there. Pope, Pope this, Pope that. What Pope? He's a politician.
Right. I don't disagree with you.
All right, but I heard your point. I understand that I don't agree with it because I never said there should be a separation of church and state or a separation from church and state. I just don't like religion in my political world. I don't live in a theocracy. I don't happen to live in Iran. The new friends of Barack Obama, atheist, are the Iranians all of a sudden. All of a sudden, Mr. Atheist loves a theocracy. How's that work? Can't figure that one out. No, like I can't figure anything out. Okay, what else do you want to talk about? WABC, Brandon, you're holding a long time. What's on your mind, Brandon?
Hey, Dr. Savage, it's nice to finally get a hold of you. About the...
You never got a hold of me, but it's nice to have you on the show. What's on your mind?
I'm a first-time caller. I want to talk about the Muslim migration crusade.
Okay, do it in 30 seconds or less. I think you've said it all in those three words. Muslim migration crusade. Is there anything to add?
Enough. And I think you can put two and two.
Thank you. Yeah, Muslim crusade. But the question is, why are atheists behind it, of the EU? Why do they want to flood Europe with Muslims when there's already enough strife in Europe from the Muslims who won't integrate? Why would they do it? I explained to you why. They want civil unrest. Because who do people turn to during civil unrest? Turn to the government for help. So who gains the power? Government. Government is a beast. Government is a monster. Government wants more power, doesn't care if it burns cities to the ground. Look what Abraham Lincoln did in the name of beauty and peace and freeing the slaves. He burnt cities to the ground. The great Abraham Lincoln that people worship. Look what the Union Army did in the South. They burnt cities to the ground. Did you know that? Now, don't get me started on the lies from top to bottom. Let's see. ISIS claims it has smuggled thousands of jihadists into Europe as refugees. Middle East Muslims go on rampage at Austria's border. It's all on michaelsavage.com. This is the most important of the stories in many ways. Conservative dissent is brewing inside the Vatican. The communist pope demoted several top guys when he took over the church. He took down some of the heads of the church because they were too conservative, meaning they believed in Catholicism. They didn't believe enough in his Marxism. They're now fomenting a rebellion against him. Chicago, 8 killed, 46 wounded in Labor Day weekend shootings. That's all. Democrats' reluctant support for Iran nuclear deal emboldens opponents. Every time I look at Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I ask myself, what medication is she not on that she should be on? I just look at her face. Either what is she on that she should be on? What is she not on that she should be on? Or what is she on that's inappropriate for her? Only her psychiatrist would know for sure. A Muslim flight attendant who won't serve alcohol suspended. Another one, recent convert. She takes a job as an airline stewardess. Then she suddenly discovers she's a Muslim. Then she says, I'm not going to serve alcohol. So she files a lawsuit with the help of CAIR. The Trojan horse, CAIR. Take a look at her face. You'll see all you need to know with a big smile. She found religion all of a sudden. She wants to serve alcohol. What are you doing as a flight attendant? It's not a religious belief. It's a job duty. What do you care what your religion is? You don't like to serve alcohol. Take a job in a mosque. Or take a job in a library. What are you flying on an airplane? You're going to tell people they have no right to have a drink because you don't like it? Of course that's what they want, CAIR. Everything they can do to get away with getting over on people, they do. That's all. And they have their little friend in the White House to help them. A Muslim flight attendant says she was suspended by ExpressJet for refusing to serve alcohol in accordance with her Islamic faith. I love those words. They're so sensitive when they say the words Islamic faith, CNN. You never see that Jewish faith or Christian faith. Islamic faith. In a bid to get her job back, Cherise Stanley filed a discrimination complaint with the EEOC on Tuesday for the revocation of a reasonable religious accommodation. She wants to do her job without serving alcohol in accordance with her Islamic faith, just as she was doing before her suspension, Haluya said. Lena Masri, an attorney with the Michigan chapter of the Council on Anti-American Islamic Relations. The flight attendant started working for ExpressJet 3 years ago. 2 years ago, she discovered Allah. This year, she learned her faith prohibits her from not only consuming alcohol, but serving it. Oh, really? So why don't you just quit? Take a job where they don't serve alcohol. Because that's not the intent here. Now, why doesn't the judge, as in the Kentucky case, intervene and say, serve alcohol or go to jail? Just intervene. Judge can intervene and say, look, you took a job, you converted to Islam, fine, now take a job where you don't have to serve alcohol. Because if you won't comply, we're not going to let your lawsuit go through. We're going to charge you and your lawyer and everyone else with contempt of court and charge you legal fees. Quit. We're not going to twist the whole country around for you. How come they don't do that? The judge. And they can't find a judge to do that to her? How come it's only in one direction? A woman refuses to grant licenses to homosexuals to marry. That was such an important part of the whole reason to become gay. They just couldn't wait to tie the knot and cut the cake. That was the whole reason. It's the whole reason to become gay. Tie the knot and cut the cake. Couldn't wait. Well, now they can all rush to Kentucky, of all places. How many gays are there that want to get married? They can marry everywhere else. They had to go to Kentucky to find a poor woman to pick on, to persecute. Of course, that's it. They shop it. They shop it. They go to the most conservative place and try to destroy Christians. That's the name of the game. That's how I see it, my one man's opinion. Look, I see the social upheaval that's going on, and that's my job is to report it, comment on it. It's one man's opinion. I know what's going on. The country's in chaos. The world is in chaos. You got to be a darn fool not to see what's going on. Which apparently is what the government consists of, idiots. Okay, now let's move on. Anyone have any questions for me? Questions, comments about my comments? Questions, newspapers? I haven't done newspapers yet. I did only one story. So, okay, I gave a contest before about the poet, A.E. Hausman. And my favorite poem was To an Athlete Dying Young. Beautiful poem. I loved it when I was 18. It was very touching. But one of his favorite themes, Hausman, I'm just off the track for a minute, was soldiers. One of his favorite themes was soldiers. And a critic wrote that the uniform tended to cure isolation and unpopularity, and soldiers characteristically bask in mutual affection. Robert Pearsall wrote that. I thought that was very interesting. The uniform tended to cure isolation and unpopularity, and soldiers characteristically bask in mutual affection. That's true. That's very true. It's very true about police, too, at least where the police are, you know, sort of mutually affectionate, rather than today where they're putting in, like, the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey show in police departments to make sure there is no mutual affection. It's like Ringling Brothers. It's like the back room they bring into the police departments now. Those are some of the topics. Let's see what else is in the news that I have not yet gotten to. Let's go to Drudge, okay. Biden again, I'm sick of looking at him. He's not going to run. It's a feign. Still up there from the morning? Murdoch says Biden to win nomination, be hard to beat. Murdoch is senile, in my opinion. He's on the road out. Why would you, Murdoch? You know, people are brilliant at one point in their life, then they lose it. I remember when I was a grad student at UC Berkeley, getting my Ph.D., in epidemiology, human nutrition. If you don't like it, it's too bad. It's your loss, not mine. My professor was a brilliant doctor, told me, we were talking about, he was a dean in the School of Public Health, brilliant man, wonderful person. We were chatting over Chinese food one day, and he said to me, one of the first things that an elderly person loses is their judgment. And, you know, it turns out to be true. I saw that in, you know, family, as they got older, they lost their judgment. It's a very important point. Now, Murdoch is exhibiting these signs of loss of judgment. Why would he say Biden to win the nomination? Be hard to beat. Biden's unelectable. He's a laughing stock, an empty suit. But compared to Hillary, I guess he's Oliver Cromwell. I can see his point, actually, now that I think about it. Compared to the liar or the emails in the Middle East, what she did, he is like Oliver Cromwell. Yeah, I see the genius in it. All right, I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Hey. I was reading about the revival of the Europeans going back centuries, 12th, 13th century, ideas. People thought, they wrote. Then a man came along named Roger Bacon. He's probably not taught anymore, one of the great minds of his time. And he was so angry at the ignorance of the people. He hated the ignorance of his times. And he said that the study of Aristotle's writings, bad translations, can only lead to a loss of time, produce error, and increase ignorance. Well, that goes for most of what you get out of the media. But his main point that he was shouting to mankind is very much like what I do on radio. He screamed to mankind way back then, cease to be ruled by dogmas and authorities. Look at the world. And there were four chief sources of ignorance, which he denounced. Respect for authority. Does that make sense to you? Custom. Does that make sense to you? The sense of the ignorant crowd, how do you like that one? And the vain, proud, unteachableness of our dispositions, meaning our stubbornness. He said if men could overcome these, a world of power would open to them. Look at that. Respect for authority, custom, the sense of the ignorant crowd, and etc. Very much like what I do in talk radio. And now I see the so-called leaders flooding America and Europe with people who will never assimilate. There's a reason for it. It's odious.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You know, break this song. I never want to hear it again. No wonder I don't play 80 songs. Let's start with something with a little life to it. Play one that I like already, like ZZ Top, Huey Lewis, Billy Joel. Eurythmics I like. This I don't understand. This sounded like it was on a wrong speed or glue or something. They call it classics now, 80s. Horrible decade. Horrible. Terrible time in America. This is worse, though. Never before have I seen treason being committed in front of my eyes as I do now. Never. Muslims arriving on the shore of Europe, on the shores of Europe, praying to Allah. Oh, thank God! Thank God! Allah be praised! They made it to the promised land. Their hands up crying on the beaches of Italy. Next scene, 3 months later, they're burning towns down, screaming for more and more handouts and more rights. What is going on? How do the people not rise up and foment the revolution? You've got drug addicts and criminals running every country in Europe. Because there's money in this. You don't understand it. There's nothing to do with humanitarianism. Organized crime is involved in the smuggling, caring for them, immigrant housing, immigrant this, refugee that. There is more money in the refugee crisis than there is in smuggling drugs. And you see, there's money involved in this. So that's what we're talking about. There's a wrecking a whole society. It's an invasion. It's an hallucination. It's a liberal hallucination. It's a mark of hallucinations, self-conceit, to pretend that these refugees will ever assimilate, number one, or be of any positive value to the societies that are taking them in. And I stand by those words. I've seen what has happened before. I see it with my own eyes now. The promoters of multiculturalism are totally out of their bunkers. They're on drugs. Now let's move on. And this is only September, early September. The bouncer is on the way. The bouncer is on the way from the Vatican. I can't wait for those few days. I got to build up for that. There must be a reason that God wants all this to be going on. I told you that. I'm a man of faith. Not particularly religious, told you that. Personally, why, where I'm coming from. But I don't know. I believe God's hand is involved in this. He must want this for a reason, the destruction of the West. There must be something here. And what it is, I don't know. No idea why. All these centuries of building up a civilization to have it thrown over through a mass hysteria and a mass suicide? God must want this for a reason. Maybe he's punishing the West. I mean, you could look at it that way. You get into the whole thing, you know, because they don't deserve the... I don't know. Homeopathy conference ends in chaos after delegates take hallucinogenic drug. An alternative medicine conference has ended in chaos in Germany after dozens of delegates took an LSD-like drug and started suffering from hallucinations. Described the 29 men and women staggering around, rolling in a meadow, talking gibberish, and suffering severe cramps. Sounds like a DNC, a summer outing. Sounds like Debbie Wasserman Schultz would direct. The whole Democrat Party looks like that, staggering around, rolling in a meadow, talking gibberish, and suffering severe cramps. Then blaming it on LSD, I'm not so sure. Evgeny Lebedev of Russia says, an alliance of Western leaders, Muslim nations, and Vladimir Putin is the only way to defeat ISIS. Amen. Lebedev is 1,000% right. You have Muslim nations trying to stop ISIS. They're called Jordan and Egypt. And guess who's not helping them? You're Muslim in the White House. Because he's not the kind of Muslim they are. He's anti them. He's on the side of the ISIS sympathizers. Otherwise, he would have stopped them already with the U.S. military. Right? Lebedev says an alliance of Western leaders. Who are the Western leaders? Who? Name a Western leader who's a leader. Muslim nations, I can name two that would join. I said Egypt and Jordan. And Putin is the only way to defeat ISIS, which is exactly why America wants to defeat Putin. Exactly why Obama and Kerry have targeted Putin, because they know this. Here you have these throwbacks, executing people, setting them on fire while they're alive, destroying Palmyra, destroying churches, enslaving young girls, all of Hollywood cheers on, all of Hollywood just parties on, not one word. All we hear about is the horror of the West, biggest humanitarian catastrophe in Europe since World War II. What caused it? Hillary Clinton, Arab Spring. She tried to overthrow the dictatorship without thinking through what would happen, or did she think through what would happen? The fact is that a militant, radical, throwback, mutated form of Islam is the greatest threat to humanity the world has faced in the 21st century. It's found in Central Africa, Eastern Asia, Lahore, Dewsbury in Yorkshire, regions of America. But most of it's coming out of the Middle East, mainly the lawless terrain between what is left of Syria and Iraq. And the majority of terrorists are Syrian. And take a guess who's coming to a neighborhood near you under the guise of being an asylee. Syrians. They're going to rape, they're going to slaughter, they're going to bomb to victory at all costs. They are remorseless vermin. They are remorseless vermin. They have destroyed Syria's ancient civilization. And yet, not one word is being said about them. And the West sits on its hands, and by sitting on its hands, it enables them. Why is there no military intervention in Syria? Why is Barack Obama refusing to confront ISIS? And, you know, the bigger question is not Barack Obama, but why does he get away? How does he get away with it? How are there no questions about him? After all of this of what ISIS is doing in front of our eyes, how is it that Eric Schmidt, great intellectual giant of the New York Times, or Bill Maher, the big mouth from Sunset Boulevard. Bill Maher. Or Colbert, another genius. Or that other one from Kew Gardens, whose name I forget, who just quit. How come they don't say anything about this, all these brave men? Instead, they attack conservatives with more vitriol than they do ISIS. Because they know there's no consequences to attack conservatives. Their bosses from Brooklyn know that they can get away with it, so they do it. The only intervention against ISIS came from Putin. He is supporting the Assad regime militarily in its fight against ISIS. And he's trying to create an international coalition to fight terrorism and extremism. Unfortunately, Obama won't join him. Why? Because Hillary Clinton and Obama have created a new Cold War with Russia. So what can I say to you? 70 years ago, Russia and the West were at loggerheads. They came together to defeat Nazism. Now a new form of Nazism has emerged. The greatest threat to humanity right now is Islamist Islamofascism. And we're sitting here powerless, frozen. Obama, conciliatory. Rapprochement with the terrorists of Iran. Rapprochement with the terrorists of Cuba. Why? What is Obama doing here? Is he ignorant? Or is he cooperative? What is he doing? This cancer of ISIS must be stopped. And the humanitarian crisis needs to be stopped immediately. They need to be turned back, not taken in. And if the Pope wants everyone to take in a family, he should start in the Vatican. He had the nerve to tell everyone to take in a family of refugees. Vatican has a lot of empty bedrooms, a lot of aging priests up there. Put them in there. Put 10,000 Syrians in the Vatican and get back to me in 6 months. Maybe they could build a mosque on the grounds of the Vatican to show how, you know, put their money where their mouth is. There's Vatican Square. They could put a mosque in there. Put one on the Dome of St. Peter. You know, take down the Coca-Cola stand. So wherever you look is such hypocrisy. Meanwhile, looking at the world's coming to an end. And look at the Prime Minister of England. Look at this jerk. Look at this guy. Like, they get in these positions and then they do nothing. Migrant crisis. Britain falling apart. Police afraid to walk in their own cities. Could you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Now, some people are saying there's no way to defeat ISIS while their promise of murder, rape, and destruction appeals to so many Muslims across the world. Remember, any of these low-life failures who join ISIS, they get to kill with impunity, not respect the Geneva Convention. They can torture, they can kill. And then they get all these 8-year-old girls they can rape. They give them the girls for free and the wives. They give them away, men's wives. They get to rape them. Not a word from the perverts at the UN. Busy stuffing their own pockets. Yeah. It's right in front of our eyes. Right in front of our eyes. And all we hear about is Israel. All the leftists are obsessed with is Israel and the West Bank. They don't have one word to say against the Islamofascists who are doing such damage to the world. Not one word. Anyway, that's the third hour. I didn't mean to go and get too serious. I started out much lighter today. If you missed it, I'm sorry. You missed the great opening. My L.A. trip, the Motormouth girl, the French strongman, French clocks. You can see the French strongman on michaelsavage.com. I have never seen anyone as big as him, black or white, never. I don't understand how anyone gets that big. I had to go up to him. That's why I went up to him. I just wanted to ask him, like, who is this? So he's not only a bodybuilder, but he is this number one strongman in France. Like, he pulls buses or something with his teeth. I don't know how. He'd be a great movie star if he spoke English. He could be Jean-Claude. He makes Schwarzenegger look small. He makes Schwarzenegger at his best look puny. Maybe he can come here and become a governor. I don't know. The French strongman. I'll give him some English lessons. We could take over the state. People seem to like muscles and tattoos, not brains. That's what they go for. Muscles and tattoos. No, that's a joke. Jerry Brown has neither. Look where he is. Oh, I can see we're running into a little time problem here. It is 18 minutes after the hour. You're listening to one and only Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Horrible. I'm going to go back to the 50s. This stuff stinks. Here's a headline for you on the Savage Nation. A white guy named Michael couldn't get his poem published, then he became Yi Fen Shu. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? An author had to change his name to a Chinese name in order to get published here in America. And then the jerks in the poetry business, oh yeah. Can you read this? Written by Michael Derek Hudson of Fort Wayne, Indiana, a genealogist in a public library. Had to change his name after his poem was rejected by 40 different so-called poetry publications. But then they got it from a new author called Yi Fen Shu, and they jumped on it. All the little libs in the poetry business.
Ooh, well, that's good. That's really good. He's a Chinese-American. He's better than that white guy.
That's a little scandal now in the poetry world. Everything is political in America. Everything's perverse and political. Here's some more headlines. A few more I didn't get to. Obama visits with top newspaper executives, raising questions about media fairness. No kidding. Recent weeks, president has gotten cozy with top execs at major U.S. newspapers, headlining a Democratic Party fundraiser at the home of Las Vegas Sun owner Brian Greenspun. I don't like the change of the name, Greenspun. That was a mistake at Ellis Island. The Irish guy, his grandfather, probably, it was Greenspan. The Irish guy spelled it wrong. He was running out for Bobby for a shot of whiskey. Or there was like, it's just wrong. You should have said Greenspan, not Spun. It got stuck. Anyway, he owns Las Vegas and Green. And dining at the Anchorage home of Alaska Dispatch news publisher Alice Rogoff. Alaska Dispatch? That's a hot newspaper. It's like what the whales are doing. But journalism specialists say that they may have raised questions in the eyes of average Americans about the fairness of the news media, right? Here's one from the Washington Post by Anthony Fiola. Conservative dissent is brewing inside the Vatican. Here's one for you morons who don't know what the Trojan horse is. Islamic State reveals it has smuggled thousands of extremists into Europe. 4,000 ISIS gunmen smuggled into the EU under the guise of asylum. The only thing that could save Europe is a right-wing revolution. They have to overthrow their governments to survive. Only the soccer thugs can save England. Only the radical right can save Germany. Otherwise, they're finished. The nations are over. Listen to the story. The Syrian operative claimed more than 4,000 covert ISIS gunmen have been smuggled into the EU under the guise of refugees. Merkel, what happened to her? What drug is she on? Let's see. We prefer Christian refugees, Cyprus says, because they adjust better to life. I wonder what the Pope's got to say about that. Pope Francis makes annulment of marriages cheaper and easier. That should bring more people back to the church. I don't know what the church stands for. Just take the wafer and that's it? You could do anything. You want to be gay, you're gay. You want to get divorced, get divorced. You want an abortion, get an abortion. What's the point of a church? Isn't a religion supposed to be like red and green lights for people? I mean, we're going to do what we want anyway, most of us, but at least you go and you feel bad from what you did. You go and you say, look, I'm sorry I did this. Okay, take the land. Good, you're okay. Now come back. Now what? Now you can do anything? So why go to church at all? That's why Reform Judaism is dead. It doesn't stand for anything. It has to be more of a religion than coffee cake, or let's say yogurt and fruit now. Well, what's in the religion in Reform Judaism? It looks like a church in speaking. Same thing. Instead of a cross up front, it's something else. That's why Reform Judaism is dead. The only part of Judaism that's thriving is the heavy Orthodox Judaism, because it has meaning. Otherwise, the rest is mumbo-jumbo to the people. It doesn't affect them. The kids don't want to go there. So there it is. That's the Savage Nation. It's one man's opinion. I hope you enjoyed it so far. There's more to come. Why are the people so damn stupid that they put up with these idiots? These criminals, they're criminals destroying the Western world, destroying it in front of your eyes. Why do we put up with it? Because we're weaklings and we don't deserve any more. We deserve to lose everything that our ancestors gave us. You don't deserve a nation.
Judge orders Christian clerk freed from jail. I put the judge in jail. He was afraid because there was going to be a protest outside that skinny twerp's church, outside his courtroom today, that rat judge who jailed her. I had a lawyer on last Friday who was a mafia lawyer for 30 years, excuse me, organized crime lawyer for 30 years. He said he has seen murderers released on bail. He could not believe that this criminal judge in Kentucky put this poor Christian woman in jail because she wouldn't grant marriage licenses to homosexuals. Unbelievable. So he got frightened that the mob is liable to see what he looks like and trail him home. Yeah, well, let me stop right there. It's a national talk show. If you're still listening, if you haven't changed the dial yet for something else, something important. I don't know what else is more important than me. What would you rather listen to right now? Fox News with the leg crosses and the twitching? What are they going to tell you? Murdoch is a senile old coot who said that Joe Biden's going to win. Murdoch's a senile coot. He built a huge empire, and just like the West itself, he's losing it. Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch, who I affectionately called Moloch a number of years ago, and I don't know why he would take that as an offense, just because I called him Moloch 10 years ago, is that a reason to ban me from Fox News and have criminals and degenerates and pimps and perverts on it on a regular basis as guests? Why would they ban me? Just because I called the boss Moloch? Most people don't even know what Moloch means. Why would he get mad? It's not a dirty word. It's an affectionate term. Moloch is senile, by all estimation. I gave you two headlines. Judge orders Christian clerk freed from jail. Oh, yeah, really? No kidding. I wonder why. Because the judge was afraid they'd lynch him. The mob was ready coming to the church. Not to lynch the woman, but to lynch the judge. That cowardly, punk, anti-American SOB. So suddenly we released her, finally. That rat. Appointed by George Bush, no less. Why, are you surprised? I'm not surprised. A Bush job. As Pope visit nears, U.S. Catholic Church faces financial strain. Well, maybe if he shut his mouth, the bouncer, and stopped talking about global warming, of which he knows nothing about, that con man, and paid a little attention to the fact that they're going broke because of the molestation scandal, and straighten out the Catholic Church, and stop flooding the world with refugees, maybe they wouldn't be broke. I love this Pope, this liar. I couldn't believe the headline in the L.A. Times coming home. Asylum seekers spread west-north. Listen to this. The Pope urges every parish in Europe to take in one family as the arriving migrants disperse in Germany. That's a very nice idea, Mr. Pope. And I suggest that you start with your parish called the Vatican. Why don't you take in one Muslim family into the Vatican? Put your money where your mouth is. And by the way, I understand the church is going through a financial crisis under you because you can't pay the pensions of these poor priests. A pension crisis now. $2.2 billion in unfunded pensions. And it's coming due in the next 5 years as thousands of priests retire. U.S. Catholic Church has lost millions of its members over the past 14 years following the child abuse scandal. No kidding. No, you put your child in. You want your son to be an altar boy? Sure. Right. Yes. Send him. You know, Mr. Malloy will take care of him. Mommy, please. Mr. Malloy hurt me. Shut up. They don't do those things. Tarnishes reputation and forces the sold assets to pay billions of dollars in settlements. The church's finances are also under pressure from emptying pews and a demographic shift among Catholics to the U.S. South and suburbs that has left much of its inner-city bricks and mortar underused and bleeding money. Pope's coming to Washington, New York, and Philly to shoot his mouth off about stuff he knows nothing about. He's got one reform after another. Everything liberal he's for. I don't know what to have a church for. Isn't the object of a church to tell you you're no good and you're not doing the right thing? What do you need a church for telling you everything you do is okay? Everything is okay to this guy. Nothing's marijuana, whatever you want, abortion, divorce, it's all good. It's all good. So I don't understand why anyone goes to the church anymore. Number of adults who label themselves former Catholics, meanwhile, has more than doubled to 25 million since 2000. Church attendance has plateaued. Low donations by parishioners and rising expenditures led 24% of U.S. parishes into the red in 2013. Cost-cutting has contributed to a decline in the number of U.S. parishes, a steep drop in the number of Catholic schools, as well as fewer hospitals, according to CARA. Okay. And does that stop this guy from globetrotting and spewing lies about warming, of which he knows nothing about? Why would a man with a failing church, low attendance, falling attendance, especially amongst the educated, and out of money, broke, why would he spend any of his capital on global warming? Do you know why? Can anyone put two and two together? A couple of reasons. One, because the New World Order wants to push the big lie, which I have refuted repeatedly over and over and over again. And I can give you simple facts, even if you're a stupid person with a PhD and you live in New York City and think you know everything. Even if you're the smartest moron in New York or L.A., spend 5 minutes and research the Vostok ice flows, VOS ice core samples, VOSTOK. That's number one. Number two, idiots, the schmuck president was in Alaska last week. I'm standing on the glacier. Look at that. Here's where it was in 54. It was in 62. Look at that. The glacier is retreating. Schmendrick. Whole northern hemisphere was covered with snow and ice 3 millennia ago. So he's standing there like, does this man know anything? Did Obama learn from Alinsky that when water melts, it becomes steam? Does he understand that when a glacier retreats, you see trees? Or what does that mean, Mr. Obama? Duh. What does it mean that when a glacier retreats, because it's melting and you see trees, what does that tell you? Even a liar like you, a basic street liar like you. See, he's Al Sharpton with a smoother game. I don't think you understand why I have such contempt for him. He has a great voice and a nice suit. Does not make for a great president. He is Al Sharpton with a nice suit and a great voice. See, when the glacier retreats, Mr. Obama, and you see trees, that indicates something. Something you didn't learn from Karl Marx. What that means is that there was a time when there was no glacier there, and flora flourished. And then, eventually, an ice age appeared and covered the trees. So what caused the ice age, Mr. Obama? It couldn't have been Al Gore. It couldn't have been Al Gore's wife freezing the earth with her chilly temperatures. What did it? But the earth changed. I don't know. There was no industrialization. Why did suddenly the warming occur? The ice, little ice age ended. What made that happen? Then a little ice age occurred. What caused it to occur? Long before industrialization, 1500s. Ice appeared, then ice took 200 years slower to go away. Why? Natural cycle. I'm not arguing for pollution. I've worked against it all my life. But please, what I care about the most is honesty and the truth. I hate politicians because they don't even know what the word honesty means. They're born liars. They belong in a freak show that they can lie with such aplomb and not even think that anyone knows what they're saying. So now the Pope's an expert now on ice and melting ice caps and weather. As Michael Savage said, the only thing the Pope knows about the weather is that when it rains, his aides take out umbrellas. That's the extent of his knowledge of climate science. Why would this man be talking about climatology and come to the United States? Why would that moron drunk, John Boehner, permit him to speak before the U.S. Congress? How could that drunk permit this? That shameful drunk, John Boehner, voted along with the communists to put the Pope in the Congress? I'm offended by it. For three reasons. One, we have a separation of church and state. Secondly, this Pope is a communist. And thirdly, there was no reason for him to speak to this nation about global warming without any refutation. Bothers me deeply. It's all propaganda. All propaganda. So he's coming here to do that. That bothers me. So the question is, why would the Pope invest any time in this global warming issue when he's got a bankrupt church, a diminishing number of attendees on the pews, unfunded pensions? What's he trying to do? Well, a good percentage of the income that the church gets comes from the federal government. Refugee resettlement. That's number one. Right now it's in a $2 billion number for housing, feeding, clothing, transporting, and God knows what else they do for them. Catholic charities, racket, business, just like Baptist charities, Jewish charities, you name it. They're all in on the racket. That ended the separation of church and state. Obama bought them all off with federal grants. So that's number one. So, well, what does that have to do with global warming, Doctor? You still haven't finished your argument yet. Well, here's what it has to do with global warming, Schmendrick. If this Schmendrick Pope of ours, of yours rather, Pope of yours, is a friend of yours or a friend of mine, not my friend, If this Pope could get away with his lie along with Obama and the other gangsters and then say that the rising seas are going to cause more refugees, you have to take them all in now from Micronesia, wherever. Then they all come here. Guess who gets to take care of all the refugees and resettles them? You got it. The church. Church gets the money. So it's all got to do with money and the story follow the dollar, period. You got that? So let me go back to my L.A. trip. Because there's some interesting things, that's all. So we did L.A. trip, Motormouth Girls. I did Movie Star. I did French Strongman. Now, the last thing I didn't talk about, because I don't think you're interested, is I then the next day, out of total boredom, before the ride home, I went to an antique store on Rodeo Drive. And you say, oh, come on. You're smart enough to know what that is. It turned out the prices were lower than most antique stores. And I bought the most, I'm going to make it short because no one buys this stuff. Because I grew up in an antique store, my father's store. I still have an affection for certain types of items. So I bought, and I'm a clock fanatic. I bought a three-piece mantle set, 1900, circa 1900. Bronze ormolu, if you know what that is. Marble. And it's known as a liar clock. No, not the type of clock that Obama looks at for the time every day. This refers to the musical instrument, L-Y-R-E, not the type that he uses in the White House. This guy wouldn't even tell you the time correctly. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Now we have a big one from the 80s, ZZ Top on the Savage Nation.
That's all. Why talk about politics? The effect it has. What's the point of talking about politics? We elected these schmuck Republicans. Look what we got, a drunk in charge, a stooge of Obama called Boehner. If Obama tells him to come in and wash his clothes, he would do it for him. Some separation of powers we have here. And the sellouts in the Supreme Court, look at them, what they must have over that guy Roberts. I'd like to see those pictures. To share those pictures on the internet. The votes we get out of him or that judge in Kentucky. I'd like to see the file they have on that judge. The little portfolio, the 52 cards. Now we got the Pope to deal with. Now, it wasn't bad enough we have sellout politicians. Now we got a Pope, a communist Pope. Straight out communist Pope. Don't mince words already. Why must everybody dance on eggs when you say the Pope? Why? There's, by the way, a revolution going on inside the church over what this guy is doing. A revolution is brewing of conservative leaders are freaked out over this communist. They finally see it? What anyone with a brain could see from the get-go? This guy is espousing. The Pope of the Catholic Church is espousing opinions that are very, very similar to that of Jeremiah Wright, Barack Obama's preacher, who said, you know what he said, right? Remember that? The Pope is Jeremiah Wright with a smoother act, the same way that Obama is Al Sharpton with a smoother act. It's all revolutionary communism, or as you call it, liberation theology, whichever way you want to put it. And I don't like it, nor should you. Asylum seekers spread west and north, says the LA Times. The Pope urges every parish in Europe to take in one family as the arriving migrants disperse in Germany. Don't get me started on Merkel. Merkel is the biggest sellout in the history of the German nation. This woman started out as another one who faked conservatism and now became the most psycho leftist you could ever imagine. Amid one of the greatest human displacements since World War II. Blah, blah, blah. So let's talk about the displacement that's going on, and who caused it? Hillary Clinton. You want to know where this displacement came from? Hillary Clinton. Why do I say that? First of all, I was the first to say it in the media. Now I see it dribbling out in drips and drabs. The second and third rate intellectuals already picking it up. Hillary Clinton espoused the Arab Spring lie. Now let me go back on that one. George Soros funded it. Zbigniew Brzezinski designed it. Hillary Clinton enacted it. She broke Libya, threw out Gaddafi. What happened? Went after Assad. What happened? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you get the picture, the bigger picture, the global picture? The most unmitigated disaster in modern history is what's going on in the Middle East as a result of Hillary Clinton's Arab Spring. And it never comes up. Say what you will about the Republican debates. They're vigorous. They're intellectually honest. They're diverse in opinion. They disagree with each other. They call each other names. While she gets away with virtual murder. Not a word. Anyone asks that woman a word. Like Mrs. Clinton. You take any, do you take any responsibility for the migration crisis in Europe as a result of the Arab Spring? Why don't you ask her that question? That two-faced phony that's going to, you know, none of them will ask her a question because they can't find her. It's like find the candidate hidden behind the witch from Florida. That a piece of work. That is Debbie Schultz Wasserwoman. Wow. I fled New York because of women like her. Women like Debbie Schultz Wasserwoman. There's a reason I fled New York and wound up in the jungles of the South Seas collecting plants and never hear their voices again.
Savage.